This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS. Now, here's Rick Preuss and Lee Cullen, a couple of guys that can only hope to be house trained.
It's 9:35, and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as a first-time guest on the line, Mark Rosenthal, who is the owner of a company called Animal Magic, which is a 501c3 based near Detroit. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. Mark, can you explain to our listeners what Animal Magic is?
Sure. We're a licensed nonprofit exotic animal rescue. We're a no-kill shelter, and we take in any and all animals except dogs and cats. And it's not that we don't like them, but our logic is animal shelters and humane societies are equipped to house them. We don't want to fill our cages with them and then get a call for a lion or a monkey or a cougar, and those are actual rescues we've done. And then being a no-kill shelter, we find them appropriate homes at licensed zoos or other educational facilities.
Well, Mark, I want to digress a little bit back. You've been friends of mine for a long number of years, and back in the 80s, I believe it was, that you actually worked at Preuss Pets.
I did, 80 through 86 or 87.
Yeah, and you were remarkable. You were kind of like a brilliant star that went through, not very long, but while you were there, I remember a very, I'll never forget experience, Sparrow
I'm
Hospital.
Laughing, but it wasn't funny.
Sparrow Hospital, and you were laying on your back, and I thought that I didn't know if you were going to make it. You probably don't even remember at the condition I saw you at. You were in such bad shape, but you had suffered a bite from if I remember correctly, it was a Western Diamondback Rattler Snake.
Hey, you are correct. Western Diamondback Rattlesnake. That's what got me. My stupidity 100%.
Yeah.
The only people I remember, and I had literally thousands of visitors because I worked at a nightclub also, so I knew everybody around there. I remember you and your parents coming in to visit me, and I don't know why, but you're about the only ones I remember coming in there. So that's weird, and that was, I'll never forget the date, January 27th, 1987.
Okay.
My stupidity, and now, and again, I hate saying this because, again, I know what I'm doing, and I got nailed. My fault. I never blame the animal. I think it's crazy to have venomous or dangerous animals as pets.
Yes.
I've changed my stance completely since back then, which makes me a hypocrite, but I'm more educated now. Back then, I had cobras, I had rattlesnakes, I had puff adders and gaboon vipers and all that stuff because I thought it was cool to have, and it was cool to have, but it's not safe.
Yeah.
And I was holding one of my Western Diamondbacks. I looked to my roommate. She asked me a question. My right hand went towards her. My left hand stayed still with the snake, and he got my middle finger on my right hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in bad shape. They actually lost me twice. I physically died twice.
Wow. Wow. And so I think that's a great lesson for people to listen to, is just the whole inappropriateness of venomous animals that can't be properly kept in captivity. And yet, do you still actually have as an exhibit any venomous snakes, or do you not keep them?
Well, I do, because being a nonprofit rescue, we don't turn animals down, and I work with a lot of police departments all over the country.
Sure.
We're pretty well known now. And in Oregon, 6.5 years ago, the Oregon police busted a drug ring, and I don't know how they heard about me, but they called me up, and they had a rhinoceros viper and a 7-foot forest cobra, which is the 15th most venomous snake in the world. And they were going to put them to sleep unless I would take them. And again, we don't turn an animal down, and I never blame the animal. It's not this cobra's fault that some moron had it in his house.
Right.
So they flew them into me. I found a home at a zoo in Oregon for the rhino viper. I still have the forest cobra, and I use them in my demonstrations when I'm in big theaters. I bring employees with me just in case something was to happen to me. But I don't exploit the animals. I'm not one of these guys that'll take a little flute and have the cobra go back and forth. I bring it out with the snake hook and show people or tell people how dangerous it is, how we acquired it, how it was some person that had it in their house. I do have 3 Gila monsters. I have 2 Mexican beaded lizards. And we use those for educational shows also, and those are rescues as well.
Well, it tells me where I thought the movie Snakes on a Plane was a farce. I guess that there was the possibility for something like that to happen if they're flying
them
from Oregon.
They really do shoot them on planes.
Wow. Yeah, sure.
It makes you wonder.
Mark, I remember you being just a super energetic individual, and I would imagine that this event that you had could turn you either way, but I would imagine that was actually a life-changing event and kind of helped push you in this direction. Is that true?
It is. I left there. I graduated Michigan State, and I was still working for you guys. I was doing other stuff up in Lansing at the time, and then this unfortunate incident happened to me. I moved back here, changed everything in my life around, and since I have a couple degrees, I have a Bachelor of Science in Biology and one in Organic Chemistry, I became an organic chemist. I worked in an environmental lab, made a ton of money, did it for a couple years, and then decided, I don't like this. I want to work with the animals again.
So funny.
I quit immediately and started working with animals, and I've been doing it ever since.
That's fantastic. And you're doing more than working with animals because in looking at remind people how they can get a hold of you on the web, because I think that's where you'll see the most amount of information about what you're all about. What is that?
Sure. Our website is, and it's easy to remember, it's www.iwantanimalmagic.com. And it's all one word, just the way it sounds. I want animal magic. And there's a phone number and there's emails and I'm very easy to get a hold of. My cell phone's always in my pocket.
Well, so the point I want to make is that there's a number of paths you could take in the love of animals and, you know, as a zookeeper or whatever. You've chosen to really interact with the public. Where does that come from, and how much is that a part of what's important about you and animals?
Well, not to promote my book, but my book came out last year, and we've sold thousands already, and all the money goes to our rescue. But it talks about in there how I got started. My dad was into magic, and my first magic trick, I think he showed me when I was around 8 years old, and I loved it. And when I was going to Michigan State, I actually helped put myself through college by doing magic at one of the local nightclubs. And it just escalated from there. I started doing magic with some of these animals at a private birthday party for one of my cousins. And I think I just had a bunny rabbit. And actually, I have a blue front Amazon I got from Prue's Pets back in 87. She's still with me. And Ricky is well known all over the country. But I brought Ricky and one of my rabbits to the show. And then a mom at the show at my cousin's party saw it and called me and asked if I would do her son's birthday. They loved me. And it just escalated from there, where now I'm selling out theaters for 20,000 people all over the country. So I try to make it entertaining, but it's educational also.
Yeah. Do you have real live evidence of how just this positive interaction with the youth really affects them?
Oh, definitely. I do a lot of shows in poorer districts. I do a lot in Flint and Inkster, and I did 11 shows in South Carolina last year in a real bad area. And they appreciate what I do more than the rich. And I do shows for celebrities. I did Dan Gilbert, who's a multi-billionaire. I did his birthday party last month. The poorer people that don't get a chance to see these kind of animals up close, they don't have the cable, they don't go to the zoo, they appreciate what I do so much more. And I give people a chance to see these exotic animals up close, but I stress that they're not pets. I tell everybody, if they want a great pet, get a dog or a cat. So none of these exotic animals. And if they want to go exotic, there's a lot of them out there. We're not one of these PETA activists that said you shouldn't have goldfish or anything. Bearded dragons, corn snakes, king snakes, they're great pets. So we're not against having animals as pets, but certain ones.
Right. Certainly venomous ones and ones that are unsafe, doesn't make sense, or would be particularly difficult to even keep in captivity if you wanted to.
Correct. Unless you know what you're doing and have the funding, like zoos, a lot of the, well, not snakes so much because they're crepuscular or nocturnal.
Right. Well,
back to the dusk and dawn. They don't require special lighting, but a lot of your other reptiles that are active, that are diurnal, active during the day, they need the UVB light and the vitamin D3 and all kinds of this thing that a lot of people can't afford or don't know that they need.
Right. You know, and that's what I have a lot of fun in our business just because we can actually inform them and tell people, no, you can't have that without the right kind of environment. And that's kind of part of the fun of animal keeping is its educational side is people don't know when they walk in that they need to learn this stuff. And when you bring their eyes open, they can make an intelligent decision. But if you don't tell anyone, nobody knows and stupid decisions are made, you know?
You are correct. I would say, without exaggerating, I get a minimum of 2 calls a week from private owners asking me for a monkey, if I have monkeys, how much a monkey is, what makes the best pet monkey. And I'm not making this up. It's these people see them on TV and think that they're good pets. When I do commercials, I've had almost every type of monkey you can name. And a 5-minute or 5-second shot on TV could take a day to a week to get that monkey to perform. They're dangerous, smelly, disgusting animals. I love them, but they're not pets.
Right. Hey, on that note, we appreciate it. Lee?
Yeah, Mark, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really do appreciate it. We've been speaking this morning with Mark Rosenthal, who is the owner of Animal Magic, and will be appearing probably at a school or in a theater near you very soon. Mark, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you very much.
All right,
really,
you have a great day.
Appreciate it. And Rick, after the break, we're going to continue the conversation and talk with an exotic vet who works on snakes and reptiles right after the break here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.